We're in John chapter 4 this morning. Story that is familiar. I told the worship team in the back they could probably all preach this better than I can, so that's all right. Let's read this. I'm going to be reading out of the Message translation, so if it's a little bit different, don't be freaked out. We're going to start in verse 5. This is John chapter 4, verse 5. Jesus arrived in the village near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph long ago. Wearied by his long journey, he sat on the edge of Jacob's well. He sent his disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already noon. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Surprised, she said, "Why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water." The woman replied, "But sir, you don't even have a bucket, and this well is very deep. So where will you find this living water? Do you really think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with his children and livestock?" Jesus answered, "If you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again and again. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never thirst again, and I will be forever satisfied." "For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, springing up flooding you with endless life." Springing up and flooding you with endless life. The woman replied, "Let me drink this water so I'll never be thirsty again and won't have to come back here to draw water." And you may be seated. That's going to be the main thrust of our story. It goes on, as you know, most likely. If you don't, you need to read it. It's a great... Everything in the Bible is great. It's just another awesome story. But God had me focusing on that this morning. For those of you who don't know, and I think you all do know, I'm not the pastor. I think everybody in here knows that. Y'all be praying for Sid and Rhett, Ariel's home alone, sorry. Scott, like half our shop's up there, working hard. I know they're working very, very hard. It's a very difficult couple of weeks that they put in up there, making a living. So I think you all can relate to that and understand what that's all about. So y'all continue to remember our pastor and family as they're working. So Jacob's well. There's so much history that overlays other history in the Bible. It builds on it. These places, they build on one another. I like hearing people that have gone to Israel. My sister and brother-in-law went to Israel this past year, and they were talking about all just the things that you find out when you go there. You know, it's like, one thing that they were telling them is the place where Jesus was put on trial. They know where it was. You know, it's where he was put on trial and everything. And they were doing some archaeological dig around it, and they were having to put in some buildings. Anyway, they dig down, and they find the remains of the wall that Nehemiah had built. It's under the place, the very place that Jesus was being tried, and Jesus was condemned to death. It's layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. It builds on each other. And you go to the city, and the city of Jerusalem's up on this mound, and it's like, well, it's up on a mound because they just kept building stuff on top of stuff and on top of stuff. And that's what our lives are, guys. Because we start in one place, and then God builds on that thing. And then God builds something else. And then God builds something else. And you're like, well, why did we build it here? Well, you have to know what happened before. You have to know the significance of where you've been to understand where God's taking you. And so this, we look at Jacob's well. Jesus was sitting on Jacob's well. Let's see if I can find this that I saved yesterday. The well's still there. You can go over there and find this well. So they think, and they say, all these scholars are pretty certain that this was most likely the well. It's still in existence. It says that the land that Jacob was on would have required a well. It's perfectly reasonable that he dug one. Also, the well was intended... Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Forget all that. The well today is inside of a of a Orthodox church. And so you can go over there and see this well still today. It's in the West Bank. So never think that the Bible is this faraway place. You can go. This really happened, guys. It's very real. Jesus is very, very real, very, very tangible. He's a real God that walked on this very soil that we're on. Okay? Never say, oh, that was in a far... No, you can go sit on the same well that Jesus sat on. So Jacob's well, real place. I just wanted to kind of throw that out there and be grounded when you're reading the Word. You can go to the Sea of Galilee. Okay? You can go to these places. It really, really happened. It's all very real. So Jesus has just left an area for different reasons, and they're traveling through, and they're going to go through Samaria. Dangerous place for Jews to go. All right? I think it's interesting. Let me flip back to it. Y'all follow me here. It says that Jesus arrived and that he was wearied by his long journey. And he sat on the edge of Jacob's well. Jesus was weary. Jesus was tired. And you guys think that you should go through your life, and if you're a perfect Christian, you should never be tired. We go through this and think we should never be weary of doing good. If we're weary, there's something wrong with us. If we're tired, there's something wrong with us. And we think that if it's just seems like I need to sit down, I need to take a break, that there's something wrong with us and that God can't use us anymore. That happens so many times to so many Christians. They think, oh man, I'm wore out, I'm tired. I mean, I just must not be the super Christian that so-and-so is. Fill in the blank. We all have these people that we look to that we think are, they're really walking it, they're really living. I promise you, those people that you look to and think they're really walking it, they're really living it, they get tired. They get wore out. They get weary. Was Jesus doing something that he wasn't supposed to be doing that caused him to be tired? Absolutely not. He was in the perfect will of the Father. He was doing exactly what the Father wanted him to do, going to a place that only the Father would tell him to go. He was in Samaria. He was in a place that Jews shouldn't be. He shouldn't be sitting at this well at this point. So when Satan comes in and says, oh, you're tired, you're wore out, Linda, you're tired of... You know, maybe worship is just seems like it's, some days it's just, man, this is a job. It's weary, you know, and I'm just not good enough. I'm not worthy of this. Absolutely not. It means you're doing it. You're doing what God's called you to do. And yeah, you get tired. If Jesus got tired, you can get tired. It's what do we do with that weariness? That's where we mess up, okay? Jesus has felt everything that we feel. This is just another great example, I think, of how Jesus is so relatable to us, yet so far away, it seems like. But there are times that Jesus wants us to so relate to Him. He wants us to so relate to Him. When He gets frustrated, He made sure that was in the Word so that we understand that we can get frustrated in the right things. There's so many times that Jesus just comes in and says, hey, listen, it's okay. It's okay. I've been where you've been. I've walked where you've walked. I understand what you're going through. This is just a little blurb, a really small sentence, wearied by his long journey. You'll get tired sometimes of doing what God puts in front of you. All right? You'll get tired. I promise you, from what little I do this, I know Sid Garner has got to get tired sometimes of bringing a word every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night and trying to bring a fresh word in here and hear from God. What do the people need to hear? What do they need to hear? What do I need to say that will change somebody's life, that will change the trajectory of where they're going? It can get very heavy, and I just do it every once in a while. He's going to get weary, all right? It's okay. What do you do with that weariness? Next verse, as we move on, it says that, you know, this where he's sitting on the well, it says that he sat down on the well. And then it says he sent his disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already afternoon. And so he sends his disciples into town to get some food. And I'm thinking, you know, why did Jesus need to go get food? I mean, why didn't he just make a miracle happen? Hey, has anybody got a graham cracker? I'll just make it into a feast. I mean, the fish and the loaves, that's what he did. I mean, why are we bothering sending these disciples off when there is kingdom stuff to be doing here? There's stuff, there's a significant thing is about to go down. The disciples need to be there. They need to see this. Why am I wasting time sending the disciples into town to get food? I can take anything and make it into food. I can do whatever I want. I can. You just give me something. I don't even have to have something. I'll create something. We'll make food. Why did he send them in? Because Jesus doesn't always perform the miracles that we think he's going to perform. Jesus does things, and God does things in his timing, in his ways, the way that he knows that they need to be done. Because you know what Jesus knew? He knew that he needed to have an encounter with this woman, just him. Because if it had been a group of men, she wouldn't have approached it. It would have been too scary. Like a bunch of guys that don't like me, a bunch of Jewish people that don't like, a bunch of Jewish men that don't like me. And if you know anything about her past, you know that she may be a little leery. But Jesus by himself, sitting on her Savior's well, Jacob, she didn't know Jesus was the Savior. All they knew was Jacob was this great, iconic figure in their history and who they were as a people. Jacob's well was a big thing. And so it's almost like she may have been somewhat offended, like, what is this guy sitting on Jacob's well? This is Jacob's well. You don't sit on Jacob's well. You know, we come and draw water, and it's a Jew. You know? They don't like us. They don't appreciate us. They don't care anything about us. And so Jesus sends the disciples away. Another part of that is that as we talk about getting weary and everything, sometimes God knows that you need physical rest. You need to go and take a break. It's okay to take a break. It is okay to rest and rest in Him. It's okay, guys. You know, we think, well, I'm just not doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I've got to do this. 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 And God says, you know what? It's okay. Run to Ingles. Get a box of donuts. It'll be all right. And that's what He told me this week. That's what I heard. And I did eat that box of donuts. He told me that. But He doesn't tell me to do that every day. I tell myself to do that every day. It's okay. Jesus went to Ingles too. But Jesus never left them. The miracle maker was still there. He was still there. He was still walking. I'm like, I'm walking into Ingles with the miracle maker. I'm like, hey, look at that fish, Jesus. Do it. Yeah, do it. Come on, make him. You see, and look at the bread. Look, come on, do it. You can do it, Jesus. Jesus is like, no, you go get that. I've got something else to do right now. Don't be offended when God makes you get hot and sweaty and dirty at work. Right, brother? You're working with us for a little bit right now. It's okay. A young man came that I know, came by our shop, and he wanted to learn, see a little bit about what welding was all about. Because he's like, I'm probably not going to do the college thing. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, find out what God has for you. What do you need to do? And so he's kind of looking around, and I told him, I said, listen, buddy, never be ashamed of leaving work hot, nasty, and dirty. The world will tell you, if you're doing that, you don't have a good job. If you're doing that, you're not doing it right. You should have gone to college. You should have done this. You should have got your PhD. And you should be sitting in an ivory tower somewhere watching all the other people that aren't as smart as you work. I said, never be ashamed of that. In this house, never be ashamed of what God has called you to do. Never, and I know it's easy for me to say, I get to sing, and for some reason I'm sitting here talking, and I get to do all the fun stuff. No matter what God has called you to do, however difficult it may seem, however mundane it may seem, and that's difficult is easier to deal with sometimes than the mundane is. Because if it's difficult, that means there's this big payoff and there's something great happening. But it's the mundane that doesn't. Keeping nursery does not seem all that exciting. Unless you have like a lot of kids in there and it's a little crazy and you think you're not going to get out of there alive. But it creates this atmosphere. And it creates an atmosphere for them. Okay? And you could use a million church examples, but I really want you to more use the example that God has got in your heart of what, where, when and how in my life is God telling me to go get some groceries and go do this mundane thing that needs to be done so this other thing can happen. Okay? Let's try to put all of it together because He is with us. The main thing is Jesus is present through the whole story. He's present. He didn't leave us. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will never walk away from you. He will be with you when you run into Ingles. He will be with you in your ministry to this woman at the well. He will be with you the whole time. Jesus was with them. So Jesus sat on Jacob's well. There is some amazing symbolism in this that's above my educational level, I guess. But Jacob had dug this well. If you look back and study Jacob in the Old Testament, who he was, cornerstone of our faith, cornerstone of Israel. And he had dug this well to meet a physical need. And it was continuing. I think it's pretty awesome that it was continuing to meet that physical need. Now, I don't know if they still draw water out of this thing. Most likely not, but it could still today meet that physical need if need be. The well is still there. It's meeting a physical need. But it also represents, Jacob's well represents the striving of man. It's us trying to make it happen. It's me physically getting a shovel, and I'm physically digging a hole in the earth because I want to get down deep enough because I need to physically get physical water so that I can drink and I won't die because I'm in a desert. This is a very dry, arid place. It's a dry place. And Jacob could have said, you know what, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to tap this rock like Moses and water is going to come out and we're not drinking anything until that happens. This water, this, you know, we're not irrigating this land. God will do it. This is going to be this super spiritual thing. I'm taking a stand right here. God's going to do this. And that's great if God had told him that. Don't try to spiritualize something that God just wants you to do. God wants you to go to work. It's cool. God wants you to do that. Don't say, I'm going to sit here until I win the lottery. That's not a good strategy. I think we all know that. I think we all agree with that. But we do that in so many things in our life. Well, you know, I'm not going to say that. And I appreciate everyone who spoke, brothers that spoke this morning, because, well, you know, I've got this thing and I really feel like I need to tell that person. But until Jesus walks through the door, physically, and walks up to me and puts a mantle around me physically, I'm not going to do it. And so we sit there and we don't do this thing. Sometimes God just like, you know, I want you to go do it. Do it now. I want you to do this thing. I want you to dig that well. Jacob needed to dig a physical well. There needed to be water that came out of that well. All right? So our faith, we must be balanced. I'm a big balanced guy. I'm all about physically doing stuff, not that I'm not a good example of this. I believe this. I profess this. Let's clear that up, okay? Yeah, don't look at me. But I believe and I know in my mind. See, that's a disconnect. Sometimes I know things in my mind that I don't do. And I know that I need to be grounded. I need to do physically do things. And I also need to have this super deep spiritual side over here. And I need to be able to go to both of them because there are times that I need to be used in both of those areas. And if I say, oh, I'm just a doer or, oh, I'm just a spiritual person, then you know what that does? That limits what I can do and where God can send me. So we do not need to limit ourselves. So don't limit yourself. Sometimes you need to dig a physical well. Sometimes you need to get a shovel out. Sometimes you need to start digging. And sometimes it's going to get frustrating because you think, well, I should have hit water at 10 feet. No, God says you got to go to 30 feet to hit water. And you keep digging and you keep doing what God's put in front of you. And sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes it is frustrating. But the well was dug. It was there. It was providing for this area. And then along comes Jesus. And it's so symbolic that he sat on that well. Because he was telling them that this is the water that you needed. But I am. And I'm going to sit on top of it. you don't need to get this water right now. You can't get to this water. I'm going to sit on this well because you cannot access this water right now until you access me. God will stop you, and God will make you go through Him sometimes. If you want to get to that next level, if you want to reach that next place, God says, I'm going to sit on your well, and I'm going to keep you from getting this until you go through me. Not to deny you of something, but to fill you with something. Because God wants to fill us with this living water that He talks about. Now, I want you to note, did Jesus come in and destroy the well? Did He say, throw rocks in that thing, fill it up, you don't need it anymore, because now you will drink of me forever and nobody's thirsty. Did they still draw water out of that well? Absolutely. Did Jesus destroy the well and tell them never to get water out of that well again? No. So when God has called us to the next level, that doesn't mean that we shun the level we were at before. We still must sustain. We still must do things. We still have to come in on Sunday mornings, and we still have to practice. Sometimes it goes good. Sometimes it goes bad. That's how it is. But we still have to do these things. Because let's say one time we reach this awesome place in worship, Nick, and we're worshiping. Does that mean that, oh, well, we've arrived. We don't have to practice anymore. We're just going to all of a sudden know all these songs. We're all of a sudden going to... No. You still have to do those things. This church still needs to function and still needs to provide needs for people. It still needs to do all these things. So, Jesus blocked the entrance to Jacob's well because He is the new and better way. Guys, when you read the Word, and I know y'all have all read this story most likely millions of times, always look for what that new thing God is teaching us. Because we go to this well, and we go to a scripture, and we say, well, I know what that is. That's that same old water that I've been drinking. That's that same old water that I've been drinking. There's nothing new there, so I'm going to skip over. I'm going to go to something else. If God's leading you to read something, you dig into it because He's got something for you. And never discard what He taught you before. That's one thing that I disagree with. I hear sometimes from people that preach a lot is they'll say, well, 5 years ago, God showed me this, and you know what? I think I was wrong. No. You can be wrong. You can be wrong. But a lot of times it's like, no, you're not wrong. You weren't wrong 5 years ago when God showed you that Jesus loved you. No, that's not wrong, but maybe there's another layer to it. Don't discard that thing that God showed you 5 years ago because now you've got this new thing. No. You still need that old thing, and now you get this new thing, and now that you understand this Word even more, it means a lot more. So when you're ministering to somebody, they may be in this place, and the other person is in this place, and because I've been both places, I can minister to both people. Do not discard what God has taught you and where He has brought you from and the things that He has put in your heart. The revelation of yesterday is still relevant today. And I see that happen in the church sometimes. Not necessarily ours, but I listen to stuff and everything. And you're like, man, I preached that wrong. You're preaching it wrong now by saying you were wrong before. You're telling me God was wrong before? He's not. So, as God brings us these new things, remember the other things. This well had a physical purpose. And of course, this is kind of the theme of this is the overall theme. If you read notes in the bottom and everything, it is always talking about how we're trying to fill our spiritual need with physical things. And this is a very, very, very true thing that we sometimes do. We're trying to, and let me tell you something, if you are trying to fill your spiritual need for worship with good music, hear me, with good music, if that's where you're at, like, I need that good music to be able to worship God, that is trying to fill a spiritual thing with a physical thing. Make sure that, yeah, well, you want to listen to good, yeah, that's how we worship, because we worship when we enjoy it, and God created us to do that. God wants us to enjoy worship also, so I'm not saying you got to listen to stuff that you don't necessarily like, but if that is your focal point, if it takes that, then you're trying to fill it with the wrong thing. Because it should be in here. It should be this I'm doing this. It's an outpouring of who I am. I have to worship you because of who you are. The rocks will cry out if I don't do it. The trees will cry out if I don't do it. I've got to do it. And I don't care where I'm at, what's going on. I've got to do it. It's who I am. When that becomes true, then you're really worshiping. Don't try to feel things. You know? So then we go along in our story. And I love the interaction that Jesus has with this woman. It's fascinating because she has no clue who she's talking to. That's what's so awesome about it. She has no clue that she's talking to God. Straight up. I'm talking to God. I went from just going to go get a bucket of water, to all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm talking to God who's sitting on the well that I draw water from every day of my life. She answers him when he talks about, and he makes this beautiful statement, "If you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink, and I would give you a drink of this living water," this amazing thing that he tells her. But the woman replies, because she's not picking up on what he's saying, obviously, because Jesus so many times says stuff to me, and I'm not catching him. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I don't get that. That doesn't make sense. She says, the woman replies, "But sir, you don't even have a bucket, and this well is very deep. So where do you find this living water?" How often in our lives, and this is kind of where God just wanted me, and this is super simple this morning, guys. This is nothing, you know, I want this to be a piece that you put in your pocket and that you chew on. But how often do we tell God how to draw our water for us? How often do we tell God what miracle we need, how we need that miracle done, when we need that miracle done, where that miracle needs to happen, what clothes I need to be wearing when the miracle happens, how I need to be feeling? We tell God, and it's okay to pray your heart. I'm not telling you not to pray your heart, but also don't box God in. Don't tell Him how to draw your water. Don't tell God how to bless you. Because when I take it on myself to decide my blessings, I promise you, my blessings are nowhere near what His are. This woman wanted to draw physical water. She's like, okay, well, this cat's going to help me draw some water out of here. He's going to, you know, he's going to help me. That's great. Doesn't have a bucket. He doesn't have a rope. Really not sure how he's going to do it. And God's like, your goal for me and our interaction is so small. It's so minuscule right now. I am God. I want to give you living water. I want to give you salvation. That's what He's talking about. I want to bring you into the kingdom of God. I want you to go from being this outcast, this woman with this crazy past that has all these problems and all these issues. I want to take you out of that, and I want to bring you into the kingdom of heaven. What a change. But yet we are so many times saying, "Oh God, I want some more water. Oh God, I want this miracle. I want this to happen. I want this job. Or I want this to happen in my life. Or I want my kids to get into this school." Or blah, 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 blah. All this stuff that we think in our minds that we need. And God says, wait a minute. Why don't you stop telling me how to draw the water out of this well and let me show you that I am the well. And that I have got something so much greater than what you could ever possibly imagine. We limit God so many times, and we think we're thinking outside the box. When we pray for healing this morning of people, I want cancer to be obliterated. I want it to be gone off the face of the earth. God is so much bigger than just healing people in a room. God can do these things, and we put lids on God, and we tell God, "All right, God, you're going to need this size bucket. All right, God, I'm going to tell you something. This well right here, it's pretty deep. You know, so it means that you're going to need a really long rope. And I'm not seeing how you're going to do this, God. How many times do we do that? I do not see how you can do this. I do not see how this can be accomplished. I see no way other than the supernatural. And God doesn't really ever do the supernatural for me. So I just don't know how this is going to happen." How many of us say, "God doesn't do the supernatural for me"? He does it for other people. I can believe it for other people. But it's so hard to believe that God will do the supernatural for me. That I'm worthy. That God has this plan for me. We think God has plans for everybody else, but for me, you know, He just wants me to live and love Him, and then, you know, I'll go on. No. Do you know how many times this woman had gone to this well? We don't know, but we know she had done it at least once a day, possibly twice a day, depending on their water storage situation, how much water, how many families she was getting water for, all this stuff. There's a lot of things that go into it, but we know this was a daily, I know this was a daily part of her life to draw water. So in our lives, so many times, we are drawing water every day. And we're doing that thing every day that we do. We're being the parent, we're being the good employee, we're being the good student, the good child, the good church member, whatever you have it. And that's us drawing our water. And we're doing it every day, and we're faithful. And then Satan says, well, that's not important. But no. What you're doing is important, because if she hadn't drawn water, people wouldn't drink and they would die. So don't discount drawing the water. What she was doing was important. She wasn't this silly woman that was just doing ridiculous things. She was working her tail off. If you've ever drawn water out of a well, which I haven't, but I've watched it on TV, it looks very difficult. You're going to work. You're going to work to get that water out of there. Either you're going to pull it up with a bucket, or you're going to crank it, or whatever you do to get it out. I just turn my faucet on and turn it off. But this is work. So it's not like she was just like hanging out, not being spiritual, not doing what she's supposed to do. She was doing what was in front of her. How many have we've heard that? I've said that. You've heard that. What was in front of her? Well, I need to get water so that we can drink, so that we can live. She's not wrong in that. You're not wrong in that, guys. You're not wrong in that. When things don't seem to be moving, and you're not seeing these miracles, and things aren't just blowing up like you want them to blow up, and God's not sending you. Marvin, if you have to wait a little while for that next big job, and you're working with me, you're sitting across the table looking at me like, what have I done wrong to have to work with James? I have messed up. Something's going off the rails. Sometimes that's going to be you pulling that bucket up. And God wants to say, well, Marvin, do it every day. Will He do it every day? Will He do it every day? And one day, I promise you, because it's a promise in the Word, one day you're going to go down with your bucket, and you're going to go to draw that water, and you're going to be like, all right, here's another day. I'm going to go do it. And when you get there, Jesus is going to be sitting there. He is going to be blocking you from doing that thing. He's going to say, all right, you've done this faithfully. You've done what I've called you to do faithfully. And it has been boring, and it may be even in the physical, because you're providing a physical need. But here I am in the spiritual to take you to a new place, to bring you into a new understanding of who I am, to bring revival to not only you. If you continue to read this passage, she brings revival to the entire village. And all these men that she's done things with are like, what? And everybody goes down and it changes where she's at. But I bet $1 million the next day, she had to run down to that well, and she had to get some water out. And she had to bring it back and pour it in the bowl so that everybody could drink. But she did it in a new level of understanding. She did it in a new place. She did it with a new heart. She did it with a new understanding of who God was and who she was. And I promise you, the next day, she went down, and I promise you, she said, I wonder if Jesus will be there. I bet every day that she went to that well, she wondered if Jesus would be there. And we don't know the rest of her story, and I promise you this, Jesus met her in different places. He may have not been sitting, and then Jesus may not always be sitting there. He may be sitting somewhere else. He may be on the side of the road as you're walking. He may be to somebody you're ministering to. Jesus is going to be different places. So you have this experience. Let's say during a worship song that God speaks to you. Don't think, okay, I got to wait for that worship song to come on again before God speaks to me. No, that's my song. No. He may speak to you in this song today. Nicky may speak to you in that song at camp. But doesn't mean he's going to speak. He may speak in different places and different times. Don't box God in. Okay? One thing is, He usually pops up when we're not expecting Him. So always expect Him. You don't have a bucket, and this well is very deep. She's got to look back in her life and say, well, that was a dumb thing to say, wasn't it? Man, I told that to Jesus. I said, you don't have a bucket in this well. Boy, I sound like an idiot. You know, Jesus is talking about all this. How many times did Jesus have to correct disciples? Like, God, y'all are not thinking about what I'm thinking about. Y'all not in the same place I am. Y'all not thinking what I'm thinking. Like, flip from the physical to the spiritual and think about what I'm telling you. You can't. You can't because. That's what she's saying. You can't because. You can't use me because of my past. You can't heal me because I'm too sick. You can't speak through me because I'm too broken. You can't fill me with your peace because I'm too busy. You can't because. We tell God that all the time. We tell God He can't. And I've kind of covered this and just keep drawing that water. That's kind of where I really wanted to go this morning. It's very simple. And I think especially because I'll be honest with you, as somebody who helps minister in this house, this summer's been rough. It's just been rough. For me personally, I don't speak for anybody else maybe, and I maybe not speak for Sid, but for me personally as a minister in the house, this summer has been rough because we come in, and this is where I've got to I make mistakes, Linda. So I say, well, there's 62 people here, and they all seem sleepy. And I got up at 7 o'clock this morning. I drug my kids out of bed. We got up here, and we practiced. Now listen, this is the pity party that God, Satan loves to use. And we got up here and we practiced, and we're ready to go, and 62 people show up. I have a church of, I don't know how many we run, it doesn't matter. But and Satan says, see, you're wasting your time. And I'll promise you something this summer broke with somebody in here. Somebody in this house took a step, not because of me or what we do, but because they were faithful, they continued to come and drop their bucket in that well. And sometimes that's what it requires. We need to come, Linda, we need to drop that bucket in the well. And we need to draw that water. And we need to pour it out. And if Jesus comes, great. If not, then we're doing what He called us to do. Guys, in your life, so many times I know, especially with school starting back, we already feel it. We've been one day. We've been to school one day. It's like, oh, gosh, this is going to kill us. Cam is going back in 2 weeks. Everybody's getting education except for me. You know, I'm like, everybody's going to get smarter except for me. And everybody's working, and it's just like, it's already overwhelming. Kindergarten just started. It's like so overwhelming. It's like, I can't wait till summer. We've been to school one day. That's where I'm at. I'm like, this is ridiculous. School's ridiculous. We're homeschooling. And I got a senior, and it's a little late for that. But that drawing that water every day sometimes just wears you out. It wears you out when life gets busy. It wears you out. Jesus was tired. Don't beat yourself up for that. But when the woman comes to draw water and you're sitting there in the position, when you're tired and you're in the position to do something, you better do it. Jesus didn't say, well, I'm tired. And I know this woman needs me right now, but I'm going to sit on this well. I'm going to say, hey, you mind getting me a drink of water? Okay, thanks. And just keep him to himself because it was an exhausting thing. You know what this led to? Revival. Did Jesus get to rest here at this well? No. It led to a revival in this place, which means he had to work. It means his disciples had gone to Ingles to get the donuts. They had to come back and they had to work. Don't be afraid to dive in there. When you're tired, when you're wore out, God will provide for you. God always provides. Every Sunday that we get up here, Linda, He provides for us. With or without us. If we're doing it right and we're doing it with God's heart, He provides. He provides this worship time for us. He provides in your job. He's going to provide for you. He's going to provide those things that you just remember, don't tell Him what you need. Ask for things. I'm not telling you don't say, God, if I ask for that healing. I'm not saying that. Y'all understand. Everybody understands what I'm saying. I'm not telling you to just keep your mouth shut and do what God wants you to do. No, no, no. He wants, like we prayed for Christopher this morning, He wants us to petition Him. Absolutely, 100%. That's part of prayer. That's that two-way street. He wants to talk to us. He wants to hear what we want. I want my kids to tell me what they want for Christmas. Go ahead, tell me what you want for Christmas. Okay? Yeah, you want a new car? That's awesome. I'm glad you want that. That's cool. That's great. I want that for you too. The difference is me is I have limits. But God may know we don't need that new car. God knows we may need to drive that old 03 Corolla for a little while and learn how to drive and run over a few curbs and hit a few bushes. Not that that's happened. And learn how to do things before I get that new car, before I get that blessing. And maybe that's never in the works for us. It's okay. I'm never mad at my kids for asking for something. But if they're mad at me when they don't get it, and I've given them something I know is better, that's when it's like, hey, this is not, we gotta get this straightened out. Understand where God's heart is for you. His heart is love. His heart is so much bigger than what we want to put on it. Keep drawing until He moves. You may make mistakes, feel completely useless, but He will come and sit in front of you. He will come in front of your man-made path, and He will change your situation. Ask Him to sit on your well this morning. And that's, guys, that's what I wanted to, I feel like that's what God wanted me to bring. Just as we start this school year, and as we constantly are praying for people, and it just sometimes, if we prayed for Harold. We lost Harold. They're kind of like, God, well, I'm done with this. I'm done with asking for this. I'm done with asking for healing. I'm done with it. Because it didn't happen this time, and it didn't happen this time, and it didn't happen this time. So you know what? I'm done with it. Obviously, this doesn't work. That's who we are. It's how we live. We have to ask Him. We have to go before Him. We have to say, God, how about this? How about this? How about this? And then He gives us power in that. And if you look, the power that we get in that is a whole other story. So this morning, I just ask you guys, and Linda, if y'all want us to come up, we'll do that song one more time. And if y'all listen to this open space that we sang, I don't know if we have we done this before, or was this the first Sunday we did this song? That song that we're going to sing again, it says, pull me in closer, close to your heart. May I be a pure reflection of all you are. Love that is patient, love that is kind, a love that keeps no offense or wrongs in mind. And the chorus of the song is very simple. It says, my heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open. And I want you guys to be open to God. Be open to Him sitting on your well. Be open to Him saying, draw water for another day. Be open to whatever He has for us this year. Guys, as y'all go back to school, and be open to where God has us. And ask Him to come sit on that well. But keep drawing water. Never stop drawing. Truman, never stop drawing water, brother. Ever. Never. Never walk away from the well. Matt, never walk away from what you know. What you know that you need to be doing. He's called us to so much. Marvin, keep, for now, work in front of me. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be, and God's going to do what God's going to do. But you keep drawing. Keep drawing. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, God, and we just love you. God, make us an open space, God, where you can come in and have your way. Don't let us be closed off, God, even through our prayers, and even when we tell you how you need to do things, God, and we tell you this is how it needs to go, God, don't let us do that. Let us open up to who you are. Let us let you be free to be who you are and to bless us in the way that you want to bless us, God. To challenge us in the way that you want to challenge us. To grow us in the way that you want to grow us, God. Because you know better than us how we need to be challenged, how we need to grow, how we're going to be blessed. Your way is so much better than our way. God, sometimes we want physical water. We want something just to satisfy a thirst that we have temporarily, God. But you want so much more for us. You want to fill us with you. You want us to never be thirsty again, never be thirsty for the things of this world again, never to be thirsty for those mistakes again, never to be thirsty for those things, God, but we always want you. God, I just pray for this house this morning. I pray for my brothers and sisters that sit in this room, God. I pray that something has gone forth that they can chew on, that they can hear you through, God. I pray that you spark something in each of us, Heavenly Father. As this year, school year, kind of summer's drawing to an end and things are getting busy, God, I pray that we always listen for you, that we always are looking for you on our well, that we're always looking to see where you're at in our lives, because you're going to be there. We just need to open our eyes and see who you are. And when you begin to speak, God, and we don't realize it's you, God, I pray that you give us understanding that we see you in those things, that we see you in those ordinary places, that we see you in those mundane places, because you have something you want to speak to us, God. Lord, we love you this morning. Just be with us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.